Hi, everyone. Welcome to Spirit Switchboard. Thank you for joining me today. We are broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Network 105.3 and 107.7. So I have an extra special guest today. So I've asked my amazingly stunning, smart, beautiful daughter, Brooklyn, to join me today. So thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited about having you on the show for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about family life, mm-hmm. Growing up with an intuitive family, mm-hmm. having intuition as part of a family and growing up. What those experiences were like. Mm-hmm. And then I want to talk about anxiety.
Sounds good.
Unpacking anxiety is a whole thing.
You don't know, people charge for that.
It's like, but being able to discern your intuition or not confuse intuition and anxiety. And that's a big thing. And so many people are dealing with anxiety issues right now. Mm-hmm. And it disconnects you from your body. It mm-hmm. disconnects you from being able to feel your intuition. So it's really like your third chakra mm-hmm. is where that's coming from. But yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Do you want to start? Do you remember having experiences when you were a kid?
I do. They get blurrier as the older I get.
How so?
I think it's just because I was so young. Like, I remember being a kid and I remember we were living in an apartment building when me and my brother shared a bedroom together. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to sleep and I slept alone and my brother slept in a bunk bed next to me. And I remember laying in bed being scared because someone was sitting at the end of my bed. Do you remember that?
The man.
Yeah, there was a man at the end of my bed. And I was mm-hmm. like, there's a man sitting in my bed. And I didn't understand why there was a man in my room and why there was a man sitting on my bed. And I remember being super scared. And then I think I remember you asking me if I was like scared of the person. And I don't mm-hmm. remember being scared. I just didn't know who it was. And then I think the next day you pulled out, like, I don't remember photos. The conversation we had because I would have been what, four, five?
Yeah. I think that you were four. Yeah, for sure. You were about four at the time.
Yeah.
And it was really helping you discern, like, to tap in. You didn't feel scared. No. It was just sort of like the middle of the night. So yeah. giving you the words to use to ask yeah. him to go away. Thanks yeah. for being here. You need to go now.
Yeah. I remember having that conversation.
And I remember you saying it super quiet. Thank you. And I'm like, no, dude, you need to go.
And then I remember the next day yeah. you pulled out photo albums and then we started looking yeah. at pictures mm-hmm. and you were pointing out pictures and faces and asking me if this is what it looked like. Mm-hmm. And then I think we like discovered who it was in our family.
So we weren't together as a family with your dad anymore at that point, yeah. right? We were separated and it was photos of your papa on your dad's side. Dad. But when your great papa. So yeah. there was two separate photos. There was one of him with his immigration photo that had no facial hair.
Yeah, it was the mustache, wasn't it? It was
a mustache. Goatee. Yeah. And then there was one of him when he was teaching fencing. Yeah. I don't know if it was at the University of Windsor or something like that, but yeah. he was teaching fencing. So there was two separate photos and you were very clear. It was this one, but this is what he looked like. So yeah. being able to discern. And so having had those experiences as a kid as well too, and really pushing it down for myself, and not knowing what to do with that. I mm-hmm. wanted you guys to feel that it was normal and really understand how magical tapping mm-hmm. into your intuition could be. Mm-hmm. So once we understood, then again, it made sense why you weren't scared
yeah.
and being open to that. And just yeah. because we talk about being a medium or a psychic, it doesn't mean you need to hang a shingle on your door and start selling your services.
Yeah.
what it does is it helps you create a magical life because yeah. you really aren't giving your power away to other people
yeah.
when you trust your intuition and you lean into how things feel in your body when you, mm-hmm. when you lean into how it feels in your body.
And that was the thing too, was like, you were very adamant that we didn't need to be scared or asking mm-hmm. us to touch base and see if we felt scared, and like naming the feeling that we were feeling of like, is it scary? Do you feel unsafe? Like, and it was never like, never, I never remember feeling scared, like scared yeah. for my safety. It was always just more of a like, who are you? Why are you in a bedroom?
Yeah.
Like, it was kind of like more of that. And it was always like very early on, I remember having conversations about like our own autonomy.
Yes.
Of like, this mm-hmm. is my space. This is my room. And no one else is welcome in my space unless I say that, like, the, yeah. Yeah, you know, if you're listening to audio, the general sweeping hands of the spiritual realm of like,
yeah,
that it's. Yeah. My space, my body, and no one is allowed near it. So having like very early on, like establishing not only just like bodily consent, but also like spiritual and emotional of like, this is my room and you are not allowed here when I'm sleeping. If you want to come talk to my mom, you can go talk mm-hmm. to my mom, but you cannot talk to me. Leave me alone. I'm a child.
Do you remember when we were living in Sault Ste. Marie?
Yeah, I do.
That it, those experiences as well too, because yeah. the school, the elementary school that you were going to at the time was on one corner, and every corner
yeah,
adjacent was a cemetery, part of the cemetery, children's cemetery, the mausoleum, and then the other part.
Yeah.
It was just, it was all cemeteries.
Yeah, it was a hub.
Right. And here's my kid with this little light of mine above her head at the time, yeah. extra sensitive. Do you remember? You, mm-hmm. You're like, me having to tell you, just if they are bothering you,
not when I'm at school.
Yes, it's exactly.
Leave me alone. I'm at school. I'm here to learn.
You're in the bathroom having chats with spirits that you're picking up, yeah. saying, you know, my mom and I will come back Saturday at 11, and making a date with them.
I vividly remember doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember who it was. Like, I don't have any memory of that anymore, but I remember being like, in my head,
right. And sometimes I don't think the who matters. The who doesn't necessarily matter. It's establishing if they are needing something, what are they needing, and what are you needing, and putting that forward, and being okay. You shared something with me a couple weeks ago. It's okay.
I don't remember.
That's okay. I'm going to remind you.
Oh, good. Okay.
I'm going to remind you. Okay. So we were in the car, and you said, so I had a funny conversation with my friends. And my friend's mom's.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know where I'm going?
Yeah, saw you on Facebook.
Saw me on Facebook. And your friends at that point didn't really know
yeah.
who I was or what I do.
Not the scale is kind of, I think, what it was. Oh,
to the scale. But I don't, again, I think when you guys were small, I was doing hair. I was working as a hairstylist when you guys were small. Yeah. So it was that shift. And for me too, it was a learning curve shifting into doing this as a full-time job as a career, mm-hmm. being of service. And for myself, and having to learn those boundaries, because being of service, I didn't have really good boundaries because I was so used to being a people pleaser.
Yeah. A mom and a hairstylist.
Yeah.
You're a full-time hairstylist and a part-time ghost whisperer was what I remember explaining it as. Yeah,
that's what you told people.
Yeah. I was like, you know, Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt as a child. And everyone's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
I honestly enjoyed that show just because she had the prettiest pajamas.
Yeah.
She had pretty pajamas. It was the only reason why I watched it.
Yeah.
And taking on so much work. And at the time, but I don't know if I've ever really apologized to you guys for all of this. And if I haven't, I'm sorry. Well, I'm going to do it publicly now. Is not understanding the amount of work that I was doing was creating energy in the house that would also affect you guys.
Yeah.
So doing those sessions and doing healing work and, mm-hmm. and like helping people dump the energetic garbage can of shite that had built up around them.
Yeah.
And how that would affect you guys if I wasn't really understanding. So there was a lot of, mm-hmm. of learning at the beginning because mm-hmm. you guys would not have the language and mm-hmm. emotionally act out because you were feeling all of that. Mm-hmm. energy and not knowing what it was. So it was a lot of big learning at the beginning.
I think for me, like
for you
now, thinking back to like when we made that transition and how hard that transition was and how like confusing it was as a kid. It's like, I remember being confused now, like then, but thinking about it now, I was like, you were doing it for the first time. You know what I mean?
Coming out of the closet.
Yeah, well, it's just even like, you know, like you had been a mom to like my older siblings and you were a mom to me and you were a mom to like Gavin, but like it was, you had never been a full-time psychic medium before. So it was like stepping into a brand new role and it's like, you had never done this before. You never made that huge job transition before. So it was like, now thinking back of it, I was like, of course it wasn't graceful. We had never done it before.
Yeah, it was not graceful.
It was my first time. No one's good at doing anything for the first time.
Mm-mm. And not necessarily having the role models or the community to lean and stepping forward with that. What I found easy for me was stepping into looking at it as a parent and seeing that you guys were having your own experiences and your younger brother having major experiences when he was little. And that really pushed pushed me forward and really having to take ownership of what I knew and my experiences and giving him the safe place to be who he was.
Yeah, Gavin,
during those.
He was a little...
We called him Little Buddha.
Little light of mine.
We called him Little Buddha Boy.
Yeah.
Because he was just so zen and so tapped in all of the time. And for me, understanding what I needed to do to support you guys on an intuitive level.
Yeah.
And making that normal. But I remember, with Gavin, there's just so many stories.
Yeah. He came out of the womb speaking Sanskrit.
Yeah, it was really,
and I wish that was a joke, but it's not. But he really did come out of the womb and start speaking Sanskrit mantras to us.
Really,
when none of us knew what Sanskrit was.
That story. I think he was just over. He was just over two, three, not quite two, three, yeah. About three, turning three.
This little.
He was little. He was just wee. He was just wee for sure. But he, and it was bedtime. And he was holding what I learned, because we had all these photos of him as a baby with his hands up over his eyes, like he was playing peekaboo. But then once he got older and had words, he was actually seeing spirits. All of those pictures that we had taken, he was like
creepy
seeing spirits. And so once we really understood, then I understood how I could support him in a better way.
Yeah, it was very signs.
Oh, yeah. But he... Very much.
Little Haley Joel Osment.
He was seeing a female at the end of the bed. And I said, I'm not seeing her. This is your experience. Can you tell me what you're seeing? Explain it to me. And he said, it's a lady. And does she look like? Is she taller than me? But I mean, I'm 5'3", so everyone's pretty much taller than me. So
yeah,
she was taller. And I said, does she have something to say? And he said, Om Mani Padme Hum. And so I was super confused. I said, I don't really know what that is. I said, but what does she want us to do with it? And he said, we're just supposed to say it. We're just supposed to say it, mama. And I went, okay, so we say it. So I was scratching his back and I was saying it. I said, did the lady leave? And the lady left. And when I searched it the next day, it was Kuan Yin and her mantra. It was like really, I think it was about peace. Peace and harmony within a family structure, which is what we were needing. We were so needing that at that time, because our personal life and our family life was so chaotic and turned upside down that's exactly what we were needing. And he used that mantra every night to fall asleep for years and years and years.
Because I remember like you working and then me putting Gavin to bed and it was like me and then the older boys, we would just cycle.
You're 8 years older.
Yeah. We would just cycle between who put Gavin to bed when you were working.
Yeah.
And we would have to like rub his back and scratch his back and then repeat it over and over and over until he fell asleep.
And repeating it was all what we needed as well too.
Yeah. Cause then it became like meditative for us, even though I didn't know that's what I was doing at like the ripe age of 10, was like rubbing my little brother's back and like helping him go to sleep and like repeating this mantra that was all about like love and peace and like bring all these things into the home. And I didn't know that's what we were saying, but that's what we were doing.
Yeah.
We're like speaking it into existence when we put Gavin to bed every night.
And it was, I think, allowing Gavin to really express himself, allowed me to be honest about the experiences that I had been having, and then stepping into that in a way that would support you guys, and really giving you those tools to understand that your intuition is really natural and who you are, and leaning into how that feels in your body, and knowing that just like being able to discern, this feels right for me when I'm leaning into it. So this is the choice I'm needing to make. So those choices aren't being given away to somebody else, or you're not giving your power away, or you're not overwhelmed or confused when you're making a decision, because you can tap into your body.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Remember when?
I don't know.
When you were taking dancing, and you were always going to be late because of the way the buses were running at the time. Like, you would get dropped off, and by the time I got there, you would be late and having to go in, and it embarrassed you. So you would get frustrated, and it was just, it was hell on earth, that whole, because you would project. And a lot of it was the overthinking in your own head that people would be staring at you or mad at you or upset and any of those sorts of things. So asking you to stop and take a deep breath with your hand over your heart.
Yep.
And did it feel like the right dance class for you? Did it feel like the right time?
Yeah.
And you did that. You took that deep breath, put your hand over your heart, which grounded you. You could feel your breath. So you were out of your chihuahua brain thinking in your head and back in your heart space and grounded. And you looked at me and you sighed and rolled your eyeballs, which was awesome at whatever, 10, not even a 10 yet, and said you knew it was going to say that I didn't want to be there. And then you just kind of left the room. And I was like, I was sure hoping that it was going to say that you didn't need to be there. And then that weekend we ran into your dance teacher, and you like boldly walked up to her and said, "It's not about you. It just doesn't feel right to me."
Yeah.
So you learned really young that
always said what I wanted to say.
Right. But that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that you're a better version. I say you're a better version of me because you figured that out early.
Early.
Yeah. You figured that out early, that feeling what is your truth and trusting your intuition and then having the strength to say that out loud and speak it out loud was exactly what we're all supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us just takes a while.
Still do. Like, still do.
Speak your truth?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know.
To a fault, one might say.
Right. You are not scared to speak your truth at all.
And I think, like, a big thing was, like, I know we had kind of, like, talked about the idea of, like, talking about anxiety and, like, mental health and, like, and
for
intuition.
Today, you mean?
And, like, intuition and where those often, like, crossroad together. Yeah. And like, I think for me, like, that's still something that I'm learning and practicing and doing every single day. Like, I'm having major life changes at the moment, and it's still something that I'm working through of like knowing the difference between like what's the best for me and what isn't feeling good for me. And then also like knowing my worth at the same time of like knowing what situations are going to be good for me and where I can grow and what situations I can't grow in. And then like knowing to say that.
Right.
And then it's like where like intuition like comes in and like tells anxiety to hit the road and is like, don't worry, your anxieties were true, but now your intuition is telling you what's the way to do it.
So when anxiety kicks in, it has a lot to do with your third chakra, which is your solar plexus, right at that navel, your belly, your gut, right? Yeah. Your gut feeling. And so you're going to know when things are off kilter because your guts go into overdrive, bowels go into overdrive, IBS, all of those things.
Yeah.
Then even for me still, so emotional eating, weight gain, acid reflux, like all that kind of stuff. GERDs. If it's been ignored, so that pushing down emotions and letting the ego in your brain, your overthinking chihuahua, go into overdrive.
Yeah.
When that's loud, you cannot hear your intuition. You can't feel your body. You're disconnected from how your intuition is giving you information.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it starts to sound like a teacher from Charlie Brown.
Wah, 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 wah. Oh, no.
So then your Chihuahua brain sees the opportunity to get even louder and plays out all of these what ifs in disaster mode.
Yeah. And like I currently work with children. So for me, it's been really fun to like take all the things that you've taught me and all the things that we did as children.
Right.
And now doing that for like the kids that I work with.
Right.
It's very much like, oh, she was right. isn't that weird? Oh,
I feel seen and heard. But that, okay. So that's part of when your solar plexus is out of whack.
Yeah.
Needing confirmation and validation from outside sources is also another key indication that something's off kilter. When you're needing somebody else to tell you that you're on the right track.
Yeah.
Is when you're off kilter.
Yeah. Because like for me at my job, it's a lot of like children's emotions and all of that. And like someone has the toy that I want to play with. And then it's like, you know, it's a disaster because...
Well, and when you're energetically sensitive and you're an empath and there's big emotional outbursts from the people around you,
it's like a million times worse.
And if your solar plexus, if that gut is off kilter, you're going to have unhealthy boundaries. You are not going to have the discernment, right? So you go into people pleasing mode. Yeah.
But like I've taught my kids of like, we're going to take a big deep breath, and I make them blow raspberries when they blow out because it makes them laugh.
Oh, that's
so smart. I like make them like big belly, like balloon breaths is what we tell them. Big balloon breaths.
Right. Which is what you did when you were little.
Yeah.
Right?
When we were little. And then I make them blow raspberries because it makes them giggle. And then as soon as I start laughing, then they feel better. Or like sometimes I make them stomp. And if they need to get it out, we stomp our feet and we stomp our feet to get it out.
Yeah. And laughing redirects you because the laughing is a full breath.
Yeah.
And that's such a key factor in like you have to hold your breath. You can't hold your breath. Holding your breath disconnects you from your belly, disconnects you from taking up space.
And then it's like grounding at the same time because I'm like, oh, we're going to take deep breaths and we're going to stomp our feet and like get back into our body and not be in our like emotional little melons, and we're going to calm down. And it's like, those are things that like I need too, because when their emotions are up here, I'm so sensitive to them. When they get super emotional, then I get super emotional, and then I'm not in a good place either. So like allowing the kids to take their time and space to calm down and like ground themselves and do what they need to do to feel better gives me the like 15 seconds for me to take a deep breath and calm down and for me to stomp my feet and feel better. And then we can move on.
So color.
Yeah.
Color is also so yellow. Having yellow foods, color.
Yeah.
Essential oils. Yeah. We use a lot of essential oils.
Yep.
Rosemary. Mm-hmm. Rosemary, lemongrass, ginger. Those essential oils are really good for your solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
And positive affirmations. Mm-hmm. We kind of have, I don't know, positive affirmations. I feel like I was about to step into a big pile of dung there. So positive affirmations work. I am statements are powerful. The I am statements I struggle with. If you have a negative core belief system, you kind of negate what you're saying as you're saying your positive affirmation. Like if I stood in the bathroom mirror and said, I am my perfect weight and I love myself wholly and completely, I've told myself off before I turn around and leave the bathroom because I know it's currently not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love myself, but I know I'm not like at my perfect weight. But if I said I'm in the process of, and I know that I'm taking all of the steps, then it's a truthful statement.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So positive affirmations can help when you're off kilter too with them.
I struggle with positive affirmations because it makes me feel silly. So I started saying it in like second person to myself, kind of like a choose your own adventure. So instead of being like, I am blah, 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 I say you are. And I like say it to
like
myself
in the mirror.
Oh, that's. And I say it to myself like someone's talking to me. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I say like we, like me, and then all the little me's. right. and all the future
all
me's,
the minions
all the me's in mm-hmm. every timeline and universe, we got this.
Alternate dimensions and alternate realities.
Yeah, like I prefer saying we to myself,
right?
Because then it makes me feel like I'm not by myself and it's not up to me to have to do all the heavy lifting. So I like saying, we got this and we're doing great. We're doing everything we need to be doing. We're making all the right decisions.
Right.
We got this under control because it's me and all of me and not just the current right. me that's stuck in my brain and is full of goblins and gremlins, as I tell myself all the time.
So it does feel
all of me feels
super overwhelming when the thoughts get out of
yeah
control
yeah
because you're so disconnected from your body and you can't lean into all the possibilities and be curious about all the possibilities if you are caught up in the overthinking
yeah
and which creates the anxiety.
And then the other part of like why I like saying we, because it's like me and like I don't know if you talk about like your team, like spirit guide teams, because mm-hmm. then it's also like me and then like I know it's me and my great-grandma and my great-grandpa and my grandma Jean and like my friends. Like I know it's like me and then all of my people
in spirit,
like we got this. So whether it's out of my control and it's in their hands, they're going to take over till it's back in my hands again.
Well, and trusting that you have a team. And yes. it's hard to trust if you are not centered
yep.
and grounded and calm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I find walking outside
yes.
as well too, right?
Yeah, standing like outside.
Grounding outside makes a difference as well too.
Yep, standing in the sun.
Standing in the sun and soaking it up for sure. Mm-hmm. Showers, having a bath or a shower, I find. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I know it always kicks me. It always kicks me in the rump. If I've had a heavy duty energetic day and I don't take the time to have a shower mm-hmm. after, it feels like having a hangover the next day. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm like, have had many hangovers
no.
to know that, but I always call it like a psychic hangover. So then I have a shower and then I'm clear thinking again
yeah.
because it's like washing all of that energetic stuff off. And I know yeah. that there's lots of other ways, right? Like tuning fork yeah. and sprays. And I understand that there's all of that. Sometimes you're just so tired, mm-hmm. energetically drawn at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So the things that you know to do and to put into practice, sometimes there's a delay, but as long mm-hmm. as you're doing it, it's great.
Yeah.
Journaling too. I don't know.
I don't journal.
I'm not a big journal.
I try. I feel the same way about journaling as I feel about positive affirmations. I don't know.
But you do the positive affirmations, just do yeah. them in your own way.
Yeah. But like when I'm writing, I don't know what tense to write in.
Mm.
So I struggle with journaling. And I think it's just because, I don't know, I'm neurodivergent. But like I struggle because I'd never know if I'm supposed to write it in first person or like me, I, or I don't know. I think it's just because I'm
for some people neurodivergent. Because so, okay, then if you're not writing it, do you, some people need to talk? I find I'm this way and I find that mm-hmm. you're the same.
Probably.
In needing to talk it out loud.
Yep.
So I'm very much, I need to dump the overthinking somewhere.
Yep.
And talk it out. Not that I'm asking for a solution. Yep. I just need to be able to dump it out.
Yep.
And then most times once I'm airing it out, then mm-hmm. the solution comes.
Yep.
So I know for my best friend, I will text her like she's my dear diary. And I'm very clear. This is just a diary yeah. entry. I don't need a response. I'm just talking it out. And then yeah. I feel better getting it out. And I've cleared the space where I can tap into my intuition again and trust the response that I'm getting. And that intuitive voice is loud and clear again.
Yeah.
If I'm having to talk it out loud, it's making sure that it's a safe place for me to be vulnerable, mm-hmm. to feel vulnerable. Asking them if they have the space and the mental and energetic space yep. to hold.
Yeah. And like, I find for me too, it's like, I can't process things unless I talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like writing things down, it's still like, is in my head.
Yeah.
So like I have a hard time unless I write it down, unless I talk it and say it out loud to someone else, I always struggle with, like, it doesn't feel like it's fully unpacked yet until I can say it. Because then once it's out, then I don't have to hold on to it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's usually like my partner picks me up from work and we drive the 15 minutes back to our house and I go, and then I'm done. And then we get out of the car, we go home and we're like, all right, now we're done. Leaving it in the car.
So do you find once you dump, you have to fill up? Because yeah. I feel if we're dumping sort of that energetic garbage can of the stuff that's heavy, leaving the vessel empty yeah. leaves it open for more of that to come in. So filling it up with a positive in whatever yeah. way that is. And whatever feels like fuels your spirit.
Yeah.
Really, at the end of the day, I just want to curl up with the dogs and watch a show that yep. I'm interested in.
Yep. We do the same thing.
Yeah. Currently, I'm into Succession because there's just one episode left of that. And Someone Somewhere, those yeah. two, because it's like the nice extremes of emotional connection
yeah.
from and both shows, but just needing that space to wind down
yeah.
in non-thinking mode.
And for me, it's been reading. I read so much.
Well, I used to. I have stacks of books that are looking at me
but like in judgment. Me, like I keep joking that 2023 is my like self-healing, like self-awareness journey. I'm in my healing era in 2023. I am working on my nonsense this year. So like for me, like I uninstalled all of my social media off of my phone.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have Facebook Messenger so that you and I can talk. And that's it. I took everything off of my phone. So I'm not on social media anymore.
So less accessibility.
Less accessibility because I just get so overwhelmed with like people peppering me with messages and talking to me all the time because we like have our cell phones in our pocket and we're so easily accessible all the time. It was giving me so much stress. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then I just kind of sat with it for a while and I took a couple deep breaths and like I went for a walk and I was like, I'm getting rid of social media. I don't need to have it on my phone all the time. And I uninstalled everything off of my phone. I have it on my computer, but I don't have it on my phone anymore.
Mm.
And then it made a huge difference because now I'm not like reaching for my phone and like seeing things that like make me feel poorly about myself or having the stress of being reachable to other people all the time.
So I think that people forget that being online, opening up your computer or getting onto the phone is opening yourself still energetically,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's not just the verbal or the visual, it's yeah. energetically drawing from you.
Yeah, because then it's like looking at other people and like seeing what other people are like and where they are in their life and their journey and like self-comparison and all these things that just like eat everyone up.
Oh, so, I don't even go there.
Oh no, I do.
Not at that place. I think because I'm over 50 now, so I have yeah. a different perspective about
yeah
that.
I'm 25. I'll be 26 this summer.
Yeah,
but I took the initiative and I uninstalled everything off of my phone.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And I was like, I'm just not going to do it. And I was like, what? And now I realize I have all this free time. I'm like, I have so much time now that I'm not on my phone looking at people's lives all the time. So like, I've read 45 books this year.
Good for you.
Yeah. I like picked up a hobby. I read all the time.
So
now.
Do you find having made that changes how you trust your intuition?
Yeah, totally. Because I was like, something's wrong. And I knew something was wrong. And I was like, I just feel icky all the time. And my stomach hurts all the time. And I feel sick all the time. And then I uninstalled social media. And I was like, oh, I feel a little bit better now. And I'm like, I don't sit and consume content that makes me feel inadequate or in any type of way that makes me compare myself. And if I'm on my computer and I find myself doing that, like on social media on my computer, right. I close it. And I have timers set on my computer so that after 15 minutes, my computer does a check-in and is like, do you want to take a break? And I go, yep. And then I close it down. I go read a book.
So those are just all really good, healthy boundaries, yeah. right?
Well, because I need it.
And another way of speaking your truth and what your spirit yeah. needs. Your spirit needs to detach from that.
Yes.
And giving yourself permission.
Yeah.
And I find, especially with clients, there's so many people that have they're so disconnected from their bodies. Mm-hmm. If the whatever traumas that they've had, if they've been unhealed or just buried, they're so disconnected from their bodies and how their bodies are trying to give them the clues and the steps to what they're needing.
Yeah. And like, that's the issue, was like, I just was feeling unwell. And like, it just like, it really like not listening to yourself manifests in health problems. Like it really truly does. Like not listening to your body manifests and grows. And like, we talk about burnout and we talk about mental health days. And I think the issue with so much of it is that it's proactive, not reactive. Mm-hmm. It's something that like I've been teaching myself more recently, is that like,
or remembering, because it was in you already.
Yeah.
It's remembering.
Yeah. Of like listening to the things that I know help. And that we've been doing since I was 4 and remembering to like really take the time to like use those tools that I have and do what's best for me, what's best for my health, and what helps me to live fully. And like, if we're talking about like emptying all the garbage out of your cup at the end of the day, filling it back up with social media was just making it worse, because I would vent all of my stuff out and then I would go on social media and see people living a lifestyle that I would be envious of, or looking some type of way, or having access to certain things that I don't necessarily have access to yet. And I was like distraught, because I was like, oh, I just had this terrible day and now I'm going to see people whose lives are so much better than mine.
On the front face though.
On the front face.
Not in the, probably not behind but the surface, when you're, right? But if you're tapping into
when you're in that crazy emotional mode and you're not listening. Chihuahua brain. Yeah, when you're not listening to your intuition, that's like, hey, put it down. This isn't serving you at all. Why are you holding on to this still? So that was what I did, was I was like, why am I holding on to Instagram? Why is Instagram so important to my life? And I was like, oh, it isn't. And then I get rid of it. Now I don't do it anymore. I'm a little old lady and I read my books and I crochet.
No, it's not about being a little old lady though. And those things fuel your spirit. So having that creative side. So taking the steps and those boundaries. And that doesn't have to be, when we make those decisions, it doesn't have to be lifelong. No. In this moment, this is what your spirit is needing. In this moment, you are needing to take a step back. In this moment, this is what you need to be centered and grounded, so you can hear your intuition to make the next right steps for you that keep you in alignment with your path and with your purpose and what you're needing to do.
I
feel people get caught up feeling like this is it.
This
is it. It's not it. There's so much more. There's so much more. And so it gets big because they're overthinking and not tapped into how they're receiving information from their bodies.
Yeah. And like, it's been a couple of months since I made that change, and it's wild to me how drastically different I feel. Like, in the couple months that I've really been committed to like myself, and like in every sense of the word, of like,
do you check in with your spirit?
Yeah. I am like, and I tell that to people all the time, I'm committed to myself because I deserve that. And I deserve to take care of myself emotionally, spiritually, physically.
And on, so on an energetic level, whether it's spiritual, energetic, however you want to say it, that is our biggest responsibility. Our biggest responsibility is our own personal healing journey and being truthful to who we are. Because the more that we are truthful about who we are and our healing journey, so we understand who we are, so we can live authentically, the more we give that gift to other people.
Yep.
We don't project our, and I, that's where we can get out of control, where we can get off balance.
Yeah. Like out of alignment.
We do, because if other people are projecting their stuff when they are out of alignment, and they're projecting their fears and projecting their anxieties, and then we get off balance, then we kind of, it latches on like gum on the bottom of your shoe.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is like, I noticed how much smaller that my circle has become since like really committing to honoring myself in every shape and form. No, I don't want to do this thing. No, I don't want to be on this project. No, I don't want to attend this thing. No, I don't want to hang out with this person or doing certain things. And like, I really have noticed a huge difference since I started listening more to my intuition and listening more to like what my body is telling me, because it was making me feel bad. Mm-hmm. And now I just don't do it anymore. And like, it's made my life smaller, but it's also like fuller. Like it's the, I was like, I was in a big bowl right. before filling this big right. bowl full of garbage. And now I'm in a smaller bowl, but it's happier and right. healthier.
Do you find when you're in a clear space and in alignment with your spirit, in alignment to receiving information, that you understand, see, hear, feel, know when you're receiving signs from spirit?
I think so.
Synchronicities. The synchronicities fall into place a little easier.
Yeah, for sure. And I think like I've made some major life changes recently and like just career path wise. And that was a huge, if trying to think of my words, the signs were there from the very beginning that a decision that I had made wasn't the best decision and that I wasn't in alignment. And then it took me
8 months
to realize and really come to it. Cause I was like, maybe I'm just not trying hard enough. Maybe I'm not trying hard enough. Maybe I need to do this. Maybe I need to talk to this person to make this person happy. And then it just kept getting worse.
So that's what happens. We
take, I wasn't listening.
We get right when we are not listening and we get disconnected from our body and then we muddle up and we can't tell the difference between what our intuitive voice sounds like and our anxiety sounds like, the chihuahua brain.
Yeah.
And I know eight months will feel long when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah, it does.
Feels long. In the grand scheme of it, that you figured it out in that 8 months so that you can make changes, other things will fall into place really fast.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. It's looking at being gentle with yourself and giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
And seeing how, you know, we all have that tool belt of whatever it is, energetic, spiritual, therapy, doctors, medication, if you're needing it, even like just whatever is in your toolbox to keep you in check and balance so that we put them in place.
Yeah.
And the more that we see, okay, we get off kilter. Now we're putting our tools in place, and that time period between getting off kilter and putting the tools in place getting shorter.
Yeah.
Then we're doing a good job.
Yeah. Cause that was what it was for me. It was like, I was sick all the time and feeling poor and like not feeling good. And like, it was
me. Lots of gut issues.
Lots of gut issues. Lots of gastrointestinal issues. Mm-hmm. And just saying like, it just feels bad. It feels bad. It feels bad. I'm sick all the time. This doesn't make me happy. I go home and I cry every day. And it was a really, really, really hard, like 6 months or so. And then towards the end, I was like, oh, I don't think it's my anxiety telling me that I'm not trying hard enough. I think I just made the wrong decision. And it's just like my gut and my intuition saying like, oh no, you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place and we need to pivot now. And I thought it was my anxiety telling me that I wasn't trying hard enough and that I wasn't, maybe I wasn't
victim,
as good.
And victim mode.
And like, maybe I'm not as good as everyone told me that I was. And then I'm like, no, I'm good as everyone told me
that I
was.
I just rolled my eyeballs at you.
I know. But like,
you are.
But that's the thing is like, I know I'm as good as everyone tells me I am. I know I'm very, very smart. I just wasn't in the right place.
Right.
And now I know that. And it's not for lack of trying. It's just that I know.
If you pull back and look at that, if you pull back and look at it from a spiritual standpoint, right? Yep. So not in the middle of that chaos. So you're pulling back from a detached, emotional, detached point of view. Do you feel the people that you were around were projecting their anxiety and fear because what you were presenting wasn't in alignment with where they were at? So coming in at a higher vibration than where they were at. So that caused them to go into fear mode and project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's the thing is like, I feel like my life has changed so much since I really have been taking the time to think about that and check in with myself. Because now when I bump against people who are not doing the things that they need to do to be okay emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to call it. And like, they aren't doing that work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna stay over here. I'm not emotionally responsible for this. And it's like, with the way that you choose to react to things is not my responsibility. I keep saying not my circus, not my monkeys.
Well, but it kind of is. That phrase bothers me.
I know.
That phrase bothers me.
Because for me, I'm like, I could
only... you wouldn't be witnessing it or part of it if it wasn't something that you needed to observe, yeah. whether to observe and say, okay, I've grown past that. So now I know I don't have to engage, or
yeah.
you are the teacher or the student. Like there's a reason why it's in your face.
Yeah.
And you also have to look at that. So sometimes that shows yeah. up. You're not responsible for their success or failure, happiness, sadness, or yeah. joy. Like we're not responsible for that part.
That's what I was going to say of like, I know I'm only responsible and only in control of what I say and offer to this space or like this situation in general. I am not responsible for how you choose to engage with this space and situation.
Do you remember when you were younger and we would have similar conversations about it's not my job to make you happy. This is a choice and here's the consequence. And yeah. this is how you're going to have to maneuver through this. And I'm sure that you can come up with a creative solution to move through this on your own.
Yeah.
Those kind of conversations,
yeah.
which I mean, it feels like you're a harsh parent when you're parenting intuitively and heart-centered, but it's not, it's about having accountability.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to you on a higher level, your spirit chose me to be your mom. How are you liking that decision now?
Yeah.
How's that feeling for you? That yeah. you know, and I adding to though, I think when you are living in a house that is recognizing and honoring our intuitive selves and our intuitive connection and that vibration and living in that space as a parent, and I was a single parent, being mm-hmm. okay with that coming back at me, like. Because you understood it, you and your brothers yeah. understood it. So you were also holding me accountable when I was getting off kilter. Because do you remember?
I'm sure that was fun.
Mm.
It, little mirrors.
Totally little mirrors. But necessary.
Yeah.
And again, about being able to speak your truth and having a safe place to have those vulnerable conversations. And
yeah.
and I remember specifically, like, you being the most vocal within the family structure that way and calling me out and saying, you know, your energy feels rather not nice right now. Maybe you should leave the room and come back when you feel better.
Like, yeah.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
You are right. So, I mean, what single parent doesn't want to be told they get to go to time out for a
yeah.
little bit? Any parent, I shouldn't say single parent, like,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember having those conversations of like, do you mm-hmm. maybe want a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do that.
Yeah, totally.
And recognizing, right? Recognizing what your spirit is needing in that moment.
Yeah. And the thing too is like, I've spent my whole life with you. I've only been here for half of yours,
mm-hmm.
but I've spent my whole life with you,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cute.
It's super cute.
I've only ever known a life with you in it.
Right.
And because of that, I know you so well and am so able to read you and be like, you need to, like, and I know what you need. Like, in the same way that you know what I need when I'm not doing things authentically, when I'm making decisions that aren't aligned for me, you see it just as much as
yeah.
I see it for you, of like,
and not just see, it's a feel, like a quick text can
yeah.
come in, but the feeling and the energy that's coming from it, there's
yeah.
already an awareness. And that is why our family structures, in whatever way that looks for us, chosen or blood, right?
Yeah.
Is important, because our safe place to be seen, heard, and felt.
Yeah.
Right. And that accountability. And the more that we have accountability, the more we can be of service, sharing the gift of who we are unconditionally.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, it's like, it's almost like an act of care.
It is an act
and like
of care.
An act of like love, of like knowing where you're at and you knowing where I'm at and like knowing what the other person needs, because we've just have been functioning together for so long, of like, I know you and I are both not solution oriented people. In a crisis, you and I are not solution oriented people. We are listening and emotional people, of like, we just need to feel heard, and then once we feel heard, then we can find a solution.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah. So like, I know when you're like blah 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 and like getting it all
talking out loud.
Yeah. And then I'm like, all right, that sucks. And then we kind of talk about it, and then I'm like, have you tried this?
Well, and sometimes I don't even need the have you tried this, right? Because sharing, just getting it out and dumping it out, for sure.
It's like blinders.
And if you are caught up in the Chihuahua brain, having that person that is able to say from an outside perspective, can you shift the thinking?
Yeah.
Shift the thinking that way. Mm-hmm. And we've had, have you had any like spirit stuff happen at the apartment?
Nope.
Is that interesting, eh?
Nope.
That's super interesting. Because when you were
it's quiet. For the first time in my life, I live in a house that's quiet and doesn't have...
Energetically and spiritually?
Yeah, energetically and spiritually quiet and doesn't have...
Do you think that your energy has also contributed to that?
Maybe.
That's something to consider too.
Yeah, I haven't really.
And the people in your space, because that matters as well too, because you do have people that live above you that bring their own energy to the table. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like generally my, like we haven't had anything happen in my house, really.
Because you would come home from university and 2 days prior to you getting home, Brooklyn had these fairy lights hanging up in her room.
Yeah.
And they would just go turn off like... And the one time they were going off and on, there was not even batteries in it.
No.
There was no batteries.
And they would like cycle colors.
Cycle colors. Yeah. And you'd have to push the button in order for the, like to change the setting to it.
Yeah.
But then you would get home, but you would just always do the same thing.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm home. Thanks for welcoming me back. And then it would just.
And then they turn off.
And that would be it.
Yeah.
It was just sharing space.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea. And I still don't know what it was or who it was.
It doesn't matter to me.
No, it doesn't matter to me either. It was just like, it was always this very funny thing that would happen where it's like days building up to me coming home from school for the weekend, all the lights in my room would be playing and having fun. And
Yeah. And specifically you. I mean,
just me.
And in this house.
Just me. Mm-hmm. But like the amount of experiences we've had in this house of like, doors and cupboards and the knockers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. It's usually right before something big is about to happen. Mm-hmm. Some movement forward. Mm-hmm. So I don't find it. It's not unnerving. And I think that's the cohabitating, like understanding if it's our divine team and we're energetically sensitive, it just, we're in flow.
Yeah.
I think the only time it felt scary to me, which was another learning curve, was a huge learning curve for me, that this experience. Do you remember when we moved into this house, which would have been 7 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it was the summer after. So not that first summer, the second summer. I had got into such a funk and I didn't understand. And remember, I was crying all the time. I was just laying in bed and crying. It was almost like,
so then the cupboards were slamming?
Yeah, cupboards were slamming. There was a whole bunch of stuff going on, but I was so caught up, I didn't see. And it was not good. It was not good space. And I didn't understand what was happening. And I really wasn't sure who I needed to turn to, but you guys were seeing all of this stuff. And then, and it was sad. Like I just cried and came out, did sessions. I wasn't eating. It was not good. And then I did a session and came out from the office and it was like, like the mud had been wiped from my eyes. I had a shower. It was like, okay, I'm back. And that's exactly what I said. I stepped out of the office door and went, okay, it's done. And I'm back. And it was such an eye opener where I had thought I had always been really good with boundaries, with energy, boundaries with spirits and stuff like that, prior to working, and somehow that had slipped in and attached and I was unaware. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge learning curve for me in making sure that was happening all of the time, all the time, that leaning in and understanding my energy, what was mine, what wasn't, and protection and clearing. Mm-hmm. So like I've never had an experience like that again since then. And in that session, you know, that client's mother had been in such a severe depression and had died by suicide. And she was doing that for months leading up. She was in bed crying. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it was super, it was a super learning curve. But I mean, again, understanding why the, it's so important to understand that discernment between our stuff and other people's stuff, our stuff and spirit stuff, and tapping into your body so you can tell the difference.
Yeah. And like, and yeah, that was, that's been a huge, I think a lifelong lesson of like, I remember even being as a kid, like, being grumpy and miserable and feeling overwhelmed and you asking if this was ours or not.
Yeah.
Is this you
tapping in? Is this your stuff or somebody else's stuff?
Yeah. Is this you or did someone else have a day and you just brought it home with you?
Yeah.
Whose is it? And then we kind of go, ah, dang. All right.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but then it gives you, room to decide what you're needing to do.
Yeah.
You take action in whatever way is necessary when you know where it's coming from.
And I still do that. I still do that after I, after I finish my shifts at work, I'm like, oh, busy day.
Thank you so much for being on here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I love hanging out with you.
It always feels full circle whenever we do one of these.
I know.
From like when you're little me and I come to work with you.
So you,
from folding towels
at, in a hair salon, hanging out with me and doing this or working on investigations. It's been a big journey for us.
Day one.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So thank you to everybody that's been tuning into the show. Thank you so much. And a big, big thank you to the United Public Radio Network and the UFO Paranormal Network, 105.3 and 107.7. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
You've been listening to Spirit Switchboard with host Carrie Lynn Shelhorn on the United Public Radio Network, 105.3, New Orleans.